Hello, and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service. 70 years ago this month, hundreds of Jewish slave labourers at the Nazi death camp of Sobibor in eastern Poland staged a revolt and escaped. Alex Last has been speaking to one of the few remaining survivors of that escape.
70 years ago, Thomas Blatt had just turned 16 when he was taken with his father, mother and little brother from the ghetto of Izbica to the Nazi extermination camp of Sobibor in eastern Poland.
There were so many soldiers surrounding us. And in front of us, there was a big gate with a sign that says Special Command. And I was afraid.
Thomas, like other Polish Jews, had heard of Sobibor. Its sole function was mass murder. In Sobibor alone, 250,000 Jews were gassed in fake shower rooms, their corpses burned in pits.
One of the Germans, he ordered we should separate women and children, one side and men the other side. I was at that time with my mother, but I had a feeling that I have a better chance if I stay with the men. So I said to my mother goodbye. I said it in a way which I'm sorry till now. What did I say? Day before in the ghetto, I was thirsty. So I said, Ma, could I have a drink of milk? Start to drink from the bottle. It looked like I didn't drink too much because she said, Tom, leave it. Tomorrow's another day. So now when I said goodbye, I said to Ma, I didn't kiss her, I just said, you see, Ma, you told me that tomorrow's another day. It's like accusing her, I don't know. And I left to my father. My little 10-year-old brother left with my mother to the gas chamber.
Thomas was the only one of his family to survive that day. He was selected to be one of the 600 slave labourers forced to work in the camp. The inmates were kept alive for a short time until they too were killed or committed suicide. SS officers and Ukrainian guards ran the camp and they put Thomas to work, cutting the hair of women before they were gassed, sorting belongings or destroying the personal papers of the thousands who'd been brought in by train and killed within hours of their arrival.
The Dutch, French, German transport, they didn't know anything till the last minute. After the hair were cut, it was straight down and they went to the gas chamber. I heard a loud scream, terrible loud scream, and later it was quieter, 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 and finally completely quiet.
How do you not lose your mind in a place like that?
I have seen waking up in the morning, opening my eyes, and people hang themselves. In the beginning, the Dutch Jews hang themselves a lot. I'm very strong mentally, and I was always thinking that I will survive. But death was waiting every minute for the prisoners. At any time, a German could go and kill because he likes the sport. A boy, he was caught trying to escape, and he was beaten to death with a whip.
But later that year, a group of Jewish Soviet prisoners of war arrived in a transport and were selected to work in Sobibor. One of the POWs, Sasha Pacherski, got together with a leading Polish Jewish inmate, Leon Feldhendler, and formed a secret group to plan a mass escape. The camp itself was ringed by barbed wire fences, a minefield and watchtowers, so the idea was to kill as many guards as possible in secret. A few of the younger inmates were asked to lure the SS guards to various buildings in the camp where groups of prisoners would be waiting to kill them using secretly acquired knives and axes. The date was October the 14th, 1943.
I was asked to help to kill a Nazi. They liked leather stuff, leather jackets, leather coats. I told him, Herr Unterscheffier, we did find a nice leather coat, exactly your size. Would you like to try it on? Oh, he was very happy. He went over there to the storeroom with the clothing, and he was killed. And later another one was invited to try the shoes, which he ordered. And when he was trying, he was killed. Practically, we killed 12 officers. So we killed them one by one in a matter of an hour.
With the alarm still not raised, the next part of the plan began. Pretending everything was normal, the revolt's leaders met the other prisoners, who were gathering for the usual handout of bread at 5 o'clock. Most had no idea that some had already been busy killing SS officers, but word soon spread.
We told one to another one, listen, look for money, dress yourself, in about a half an hour we're escaping. And Sasha jumped on the table, this I remember. He said that the time did come to finish this place, to stop to help and kill our brothers. And it was a difficult way to freedom, but whoever will survive, his duty is to tell the world what's happened here.
At around the same time, a Ukrainian guard discovered one of the bodies hidden in the barracks and raised the alarm.
The plan was we should go to the main gate in a formation, pretend that the SS told us to go to the main gate. But the guards already did find out what's happened. They started to shoot at us. It was like anyone for himself. And I heard the bullets shoot, friends fall all over. So I did run back to the camp. I remember running through a group of people praying. I still remember the words. It is in Hebrew, Eli, Eli, Lama, Azaftani, which is in Hebrew meant, God, God, why don't you defend us? And they didn't want to run away. They considered it a will of God. This is God's way. And they were killed.
What was going through your head?
I was afraid that if they catch me alive, they will take revenge for their friends we killed. And I was afraid, but again, this was the only way out.
With guards shooting from watchtowers, Thomas somehow made his way through to the final fence, where some prisoners were hacking a hole through the barbed wire. Just as Thomas squeezed through the hole, and with others desperately pushing behind, the barbed wire fence collapsed on top of him. Thomas was trampled as others poured out of the camp and into the minefield.
I thought, God, this is the end of me. And I can't go out because the barbed wire did embedded in my jacket. People were stepping off me. People were running and the mines were exploding. So I finally find a solution. I just simply slid out from the court and was running. I fell down twice. I thought I'm shot, but I wasn't. Later, I find myself in the forest with Sasha and a group of about 50 people in the forest.
It must have been the greatest joy.
Yeah, I didn't believe it. I'm in the forest, I could go, I could have... But we don't know where to go. We don't have families anymore. You open a door to somebody for help, you don't know what kind of door you open. He could kill you. So now we're in the forest, we are alone. What should we do?
300 prisoners managed to escape to the forest. Some were later caught and killed by the Nazi authorities. Some were killed by local Poles and partisans. Others were given shelter. Just over 50 managed to make it to the end of the war. Sobibor was demolished after the escape, the remaining inmates killed. After being shot by a Polish farmer who'd initially given him shelter, Thomas ended up joining the Polish underground until liberation. He now lives in California, but every year he returns to Sobibor to remember.
No matter what you do, you cannot picture what's happened. But I don't think that a place where 250,000 people were killed in a terrible death, that this shouldn't be memorized some way.
Thomas Blatt, ending that edition of Witness, which was written and presented by Alex Last. For our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.